Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Mondays with Mindy. I'm here, as always, thankfully, with my dearest darling, Christian Brescia. How you doing?
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the show. I'm doing great, Mindy. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks. Today, we're going to have a conversation with dance instructor, choreographer, and reality television personality, Abby Lee Miller.
How about that?
Why not? Abby is the co-founder of the Abby Lee Dance Company and is the star and producer of Lifetime series Dance Moms and its three spinoffs. Born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Abby grew up around dance, studying under the direction of her mother at the Marianne Lorraine Dance Studio. And in 1980, at the age of 14, she began choreographing and coaching one of her mother's dance competition teams.
Wow.
She eventually took over the studio and in 1995 renamed it Rain Dance Productions. In 2011, Abby began starring in the Lifetime reality series Dance Moms. She appeared in seven seasons as the show followed the practice sessions and performance competitions of young students of the Abby Lee Dance Company. Three spinoffs that ran for two seasons each later and opening a new studio in Los Angeles, Abby quit the series in 2017, but the next year returned for season eight. Last May, Abby announced that she'd be leaving the show and Lifetime after 9 years.
Wow.
Well, not quite. She has three other shows currently in the works.
Wow.
Abby has had some controversy surrounding her, to say the least, in the last couple of years. From her style of coaching to dealing with her dance moms, Abby has never shied away from conflict. In 2016, she pled guilty to bankruptcy fraud and spent some time in federal prison. Wow. And in 2018, after a spinal surgery, she was diagnosed with Burkitt lymphoma that has left her unable to walk and relies to this day on a wheelchair. She courageously chronicles her therapy and recovery on her social media accounts, which is where she and I found each other, to be honest.
That's amazing. I'm very excited to have a conversation with this gal. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right.
Why not?
Let's do it. Ready? Ladies and gentlemen, Abby Lee Miller. Hello.
Hello. I'm thrilled to be here.
We are so tickled to have you. And I
absolutely,
this is just such a thrill for me. So we're going to
okay. Wait, I've been waiting for this day my whole entire life. I think since I was 12 or 13 or whatever it was. But I am in a physical therapy rehabilitation place. So
okay.
Literally had to block this time out so that I didn't have therapy. I didn't have nurses. I didn't have doctors. I'm like, I'm
oh my gosh.
One to two. There is not nobody better knock on my door and come in with anything. No, no, no. But you know, it's like a revolving door.
Well, hey, listen, I'm glad you're where you are. Yes. I mean, for you. Yes.
Getting the help.
Yes. So anyway, we're going to jump in and in our trusty Jonathan Adler canister and just do a deep dive. 20 questions. We're going to ask five.
Randomly.
Abby.
Just a little get to know you.
What's your favorite place in the world and why?
I like London. Harrods department store. I want to live there.
Oh, that's a good
just
one.
In the store. I want to try on every shoe, every piece of candy, you know.
Love it.
That's one of my favorite places. I'm a beach girl too.
Mm. Are you?
Yeah. No, I don't like sand. I don't like the water, like in the beach. I would like to look at it and then be in the pool next to it.
Yes. Yes. I feel that. I get it.
Me too.
Okay. This is interesting. Abby, do you have a hidden talent?
No.
They're all on display.
It's all out there.
I was a well-rounded child. So I was a brownie and then a Girl Scout. I was on the swim team. I took ice skating lessons, roller skating lessons. Oh God, charm school, which was one of the best things I did. And sewing classes at Sears Sewing School. And I was in the garden club. I was junior golf at the country club. Yeah, I did everything and nothing well, obviously.
No, that's obviously so not true.
Not true.
But that's incredible. Absolutely incredible.
That.
What's the best advice you've been given and who gave it to you?
Gentleman who I can't remember his name, and that's sad. I was at Collins Avenue, who is now defunct, and they were the production company for Dance Moms. And I was out in LA and I was in their office probably after three episodes of the show or something. Mm-hmm. And a gentleman came in that was an editor and he tapped me on the shoulder. He leaned in close and whispered in my ear, when you get home, get a t-shirt, get it on your website and start selling it now. And that was the best advice I've been given.
Wow. Oh my gosh. May I just say that Christian and I literally talked about that yesterday, that the only thing the girls we misstepped on was not doing merch.
Merch. Oh, yeah.
But what channel were you on? You were on Real
NBC.
TV. Yeah, NBC. So,
but I mean, like later on when we could have done something as kind of nostalgia.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That is so smart that you did that. Yes.
And I've, you know, when I wrote a book and I was doing the book signings, I'm at Barnes and Noble and there were literally 500 people in line, right?
Wow.
But a family comes, a mom and dad, two girls, they buy one book. Right. You know, right. If I'm selling a t-shirt, each kid needs a t-shirt. Yep. Yep. And I made 25 cents a book and I think I made $25 a shirt. Yeah.
Amazing. Wow. Oh my God, bless this man. Yeah. Bless this man and all his family. Yeah.
And they fired him or something. I don't even know. And I was like, I loved him.
Yes. Right. Oh, that is such good advice.
You love him still.
Do you want to know the best advice I give, though? The best advice when kids ask me, the dancers, and they say, "What, do you have any advice for me?" And I'm like, get a good attorney. That's my best advice. A really good one.
So yeah, that's a good advice.
Yeah.
What's your guilty pleasure?
Chocolate.
Nice.
Good chocolate. There's two places in Pittsburgh that make amazing chocolate. And we used to do the big fundraisers for the studio, like sold $30,000 at Easter and $30,000 at Christmas, you know, and they would bring in this huge bag of broken chocolate pretzels.
Oh my God.
Us at the front desk. And that was like, that's a big guilty pleasure. And also I'm a movie buff. So I miss going to the movies. I need my popcorn, my drink. I need my peanut M&Ms. Like I need to just, and nobody talk to me, leave, sit a couple seats away. Right.
Yep. A couple hours.
Same. Oh my gosh. Same. Okay. Bargain matinee is in our future, lady.
Okay.
What is your best habit and what is your worst?
I think my best habit is, I don't know if it's a habit, always correcting people, always trying to make someone better. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what was my worst habit?
Yeah.
Correcting people and trying to make them better. Like on Instagram, these kids with these pigeon-toed feet, I'm like, turn your feet out. What's wrong with you? And they've had 8 years of ballet, you know, and the next picture is their leg up here. And I'm like, but you're standing pigeon-toed because you think it's cool? No, it's not cool.
Okay.
Are your glasses prescription? Are they real or are they cute glasses?
Okay, I love that you said they're cute. Thank you, Caddis. But no, they're real. They're needed. I am going to be 55 soon.
That's another thing now is kids on Instagram, some of my kids are wearing glasses. Or I'm like, are you making fun of kids that are wearing glasses or in pigeon-toed? Or are you not? Because people send their children to dance class because their feet turn in or because they're rolling arches. I even knew somebody that got their insurance to pay for their dance lessons. But yeah, it's crazy. Wow. But those are bad things. So we shouldn't make them cool. We should do what's right and let other people follow you. Be the leader. Don't be the follower. Right.
Yes. Yeah. Agreed. 100%. Agreed. Well, I would have loved to have been a leader on something, but I just, I was not raised. I mean, I'm raised to be a leader in my own mind, but I mean, you know, them's the breaks. Yes. not the cool kids in high school. Let me just put it that way. I was not in that group at all.
You were too cool for them. That's why.
Oh my gosh. Well, again, what Christian and I talk about a lot, I am so grateful that I was not one of those. I had friends who did not peak in high school. I am getting better with age. I think truly at 60, I'm going to hit my stride. I really think there's something coming here, Abby.
I do a lot of cameos and you're not going to be 60. You're not going to be 60. You're going to be 59 for maybe 10 years. Yes.
I love it. I love it. I'm ready for that.
Yeah.
So sounds good. I'm going to get into like the questions that we kind of ask everyone out of just curiosity and see if, you know, anything sticks and it's, you know, interesting to you. Okay. But is where you grew up, did that help create your aesthetic or your vibe? I mean, I know you grew up with your mom in the studio and took over at a very young age.
Well, yes. But are you talking about like my environment? Or are you talking about the city of Pittsburgh?
I'm talking about however you want to take it.
Yeah. However,
The fact that you started to choreograph at such a young age, that to me is a definition of a creative.
Okay. I'll try to do that quickly. So I was a well-rounded child. Mm-hmm. I took, oh my God. I mean, ice skating, roller skating, Girl Scouts, brownies, you know, all that jazz, charm school, floral arranging, Sears Sewing School. I did all these different things and I did nothing well. I wasn't like into anything. I just bought all the outfit and I wasn't allowed to quit. I had to see it through till the end. And then if I didn't want to join the next year, that was fine, but see it through. I think I played girls basketball for the Catholic high school. I don't know what anyway, I went to public school for 12 years. Okay. So I think that I wanted to get out of Pittsburgh. My parents, I traveled. I mean, not to other countries because my dad thought, spend the money in this country. There's lots of places to see first. But we did travel and we did nice things. You know, I spent every Christmas at the Fontainebleau Hotel on Miami Beach because before that, my mom had 7 studios in Miami and her students used to work at the Fontainebleau with Sammy Davis Jr. and Elvis and the Rat Pack. And they, you know, when the band took a break, her girls danced and she dressed them up. You know, they were 15, 16, like they were 25 and they did a couple numbers and then the band came back. So she, you know, that was the life. She drove a Cadillac convertible. She was independent. She started a business at 18 in 1945.
Amazing.
Right after the war. So, you know, and then she married my dad 18 years later. And they were both older when they had me. So they raised me to be very independent. They didn't know how long they'd be around. And, you know, so that was a good thing. I was not, though, at the studio with my mom. No.
Okay.
Okay. So my mom, when she came back to Pittsburgh, she married my dad. And my dad had his family's house because he was one of 6 kids, but they were all married and gone and had kids of their own. So he had the house. And he thought my mother was going to sit on the porch with the babushka on her and talk to the neighbors. He was like, I was driving a convertible in Florida. And no. We're going to move to the suburbs. We're going to join the country club. I'll open another studio. Okay. Yeah. That's what we're doing. And my dad had a very good job with J&L Steel and the Monongahela Connecting Railroad. So he worked for the railroad in Pennsylvania. Okay. It was a stressful job, but good. So, you know, with the dental and the eyes and, you know, all the insurance, like you used to have paid vacation, all that. So he, my mom opened a studio and the next town, there was another studio, a very kind of well-known school. My mother was nobody. She knew no one in the area. So all these kids were like flocking to her and she really didn't understand it. So then one day she asked, you mind me, am I asking why you're leaving there and coming here? Wow. The teacher has these 2 daughters and these 2 daughters are brats and they're in every number and they're in the front and the middle and blah, blah, blah. My mom's thinking, oh, shoot, I better not bring my daughter. So my mother wasn't really into babies either. She dropped me off the dining room table and my dad had to leave work and come home and get me. And she never really touched me again. She was warm and fuzzy when we were like 3 years old and up. But before that, she was scared to death. And my dad did my lotion and did it. He made my ponytails. So getting to that story is that my mom didn't have me at the studio like that. My dad brought me and I took my 1-hour lesson and I went home.
Okay.
I didn't hang out there. Okay. So my dad took me to all my activities. He worked from like 7 in the morning till 3, came from work and my mom went to the studio. And then I was with my dad. I was daddy's girl. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, but in the summer, I would travel with my mom to all these dance conventions. At that time, she wasn't taking all these kids. She was taking me. We were going for her continuing education. And I'd see her colleague she had for years. So I was in, you know, Florida, Las Vegas, Chicago, New York all the time. And my mom's former students from New York City were now working in New York and dancing on Broadway and choreographers. And one of her students is the partner, life partner of John Kander of Kander and Ebb, who wrote Chicago and Sweet Charity and Cabaret and everything. Oh, yeah. So I, as a little girl, I was getting tapes in the mail, cassette tapes of music saying, maybe you can use this. It was never in a show. It was never in a show. You can use this. So yeah, that was a big moment in my life. Right. So when I was 13 that summer, they sent my mom would get the mail at the house too, in the studio. And she had, it was a competition in 1980. I was 14, 13. Mm-hmm. There was a dance competition coming in the summer. And I said, Mom, can I do this? And she said, you want to do a solo in a competition? First of all, you shouldn't be paying to get to dance. You should get paid to dance. So my mom was very anti-competition.
Interesting.
No way. I know. Very interesting, right? And I made my life that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So she said, I said, no, I don't want to do it. I want to choreograph a number and put it in. And she said, yeah, you could do that. Because right now, remember, we paid for every lesson.
Right.
And I didn't have to find my niche yet. And I'm 13.
Right.
So I got three girlfriends. They were my friends, my peers, my age. I choreographed a routine for them. I still know it probably. And I got the costumes, the rhinestones. It was with skateboards. They skateboarded out in a handstand.
Anyway, wow.
And the costumes, one was red, one was green, one was blue, royal blue. Okay. So we did that and they won.
I
had that little plastic trophy. And I thought, this is what I was put on this earth to do. I liked this.
Beginning.
Huh. I like this.
Well, you are your immediate director immediately.
Right.
Well, yeah.
I know that. You know. How long did you see that? Okay. So anyway, at that moment, I asked my mom, could I start a competition team at her studio? And she was like, there's one condition. Everybody that tries out makes it. You can't cut anybody because I'm running a business.
Wow.
So I had 16 kids. I had 15 girls and a boy, and one little girl dropped out on her own because her mother realized she wasn't ready. And she
dropped out
next year. She didn't quit. She kept coming to dance class. And then the next couple of years she joined. So I had 14 girls and a boy. Perfect. And soon
it was.
Grew to 148 members of the competition team.
Abby.
And these were people I was telling school teachers, accountants, lawyers, doctors, whatever, where they were going on their vacation, where they were going to stay in what hotel, what they were going to eat for dinner. Here's your three choices at this banquet and what they were going to wear each night. And they listened. Somehow they listened to me.
Yes.
And a friend of mine, a dear, very dear, dear, dear family friend, always says that she was in the dressing room at the recital dressing her kids. And I walked in and kind of yelled at everybody about something. And I walked out and she was like, who is that little kid telling us what to do? And they were like, oh, that's Mrs. Miller's daughter, Abby. You better listen. Like, I've been listening for 45 years to you.
There it is. There it is.
That is amazing.
I just had that. Like, I don't know, it was just bossy attitude or what, but people listen to what I was telling them to do.
You were emphatic and you knew what you were doing. I mean, what's interesting to me about you and your story, and I even noticed it when Dance Moms first started, is it's one thing to be a creative and be able to choreograph and direct and see a number in all its glory, meaning from costumes to hair to et cetera. But you also have tremendous business acumen to run a business. No, I mean, listen. A lot of moving parts came into your life that it's called show business and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
But I wasn't prepared.
Right. And most people aren't.
Yeah.
And having said that, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the fact that it's very unusual for such a outstanding creative to also have tremendous business acumen. It's tough. It's tough. So my hat's off to you.
Well, thank you. I always say that I can make you money. I know how to make money. I do. Mm-hmm. I can come up with any idea or any this or any that. I can make money. I'm just not very good at like keeping it and spending it and not spending it and paying Uncle Sam. Like, don't worry, I'm paying Uncle Sam enough, but just saying.
Right.
That's what I mean is like the other side. And my dad, I'm blaming him because he was the mathematician and he graduated from high school 2 years early. You know, back in the day, they just moved you to the next year if you were too smart. They didn't have extra classes and all that jazz. And he never taught me. I had a credit card. I had Kaufman's was our big department store in Pittsburgh. And I would go there and it would be 2 days before Christmas and I'm shopping with my friends. So the midnight sale and my credit card was getting declined. I'm like, what's this mean? And I had to go up to the 11th floor to the office and they said, well, you've hit your limit. I said, well, call my dad and change that. What do you mean I hit my limit? I need this outfit for New Year's Eve. Let's go. And they called him and he on the phone and he said, oh yeah, whatever. Take it up another $1,000. And that was it. Like there was never, he didn't get me my own checkbook. I wasn't balancing kids today. You should start like 10 years old, get them a debit card with $100 on it. And everywhere you go, make them use their cards. So they realize that $100 is gone real quick. Right.
Yeah. No, agreed. Agreed 100%. It's so many. And especially in, I think of obviously the entertainment business, but sports, I think just as you develop your skill, you have to develop how to deal with money. I mean, life skills, you just have to. Yeah, life skills. How many
dinners and lunches I paid for kids who the money was in the bag and the bag was in the car and the car was in the parking garage. But we're here now.
Yeah.
I'm not going back with you. I'm not walking back there. I'll pay for the dinner. Tell your mother to pay me back that never did. I mean, 25 years of that stuff. And there was always one sneak in the group. The one kid that didn't have, you know, that left their money or their purse or their mother forgot to give it to them or whatever. There was always that one in every dance group. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what, not so much then, but what inspires you now? Like what or who inspires you?
You do. You inspire me when I see you in your dance class. I mean, if I had two legs, I would be there. I don't know where it is or what it is or who teaches it, but I would be there.
No, do you know that I have to say that Netta, who owns Jam, you know, we would all be drooling at her client list and her privates, who she deals with on a regular basis. I told her that I had invited you to be on my podcast. She literally started crying. She is such a fan. And I said, you know, Abby comments when I dance with you. And it's the one thing I have to say, Abby, it brings me so much joy. And especially after my bout with what I went through, right. I had such a hard time getting back in my body. And this is what did it for me. And so to have you respond to it in that way.
Why don't I see you on TikTok doing a TikToks? Why aren't you on there? You could do that so easy.
Okay, so here's where the old lady comes in. I've been 90 since I was 13. I'm so terrified of the TikTok that it's like they get all your information. Like I'm so paranoid about that, that I only do, as my Granny Rose, I think would say, I only do the Instagram. I don't do the Facebook and I don't do the TikTok. But
maybe eventually.
Thank you for that. Because coming from you, honestly.
They do. It's like dumb. That's what I don't like about TikTok is I love the dads, the brother. Do you even have it on your phone to look at?
No. Oh, no, I don't see it at all.
Okay, you need to see it because
really,
it's the same thing that you get dancing. It's these old men, it's dads, it's brothers. It's like the son and the dad and the grandfather dancing together. It has changed the world. I'm telling you, during COVID quarantine, I don't think TikTok would nearly be as successful if we weren't shut in for 8 months, seven. I mean, I've been shut in for 3 years, but yeah, it is magnificent to see.
Oh my gosh.
Old couples like in their 90s still doing a jitterbug together and stuff. It's great. It's great. You have to go on it. But I don't like seeing trained classical dancers doing this and doing this and doing this when they are. There should be like TikTok amateur and TikTok pro.
Yeah.
I just keep like that
show. Yes, I know. Hi, that's $1 million idea, kiddo. Yeah,
that's what they need to have. So the pro would be real dancers doing these amazing challenges. And the other ones would be the like cutesy little stuff.
Yeah.
It is incredible. Getting people up and it's getting people dancing. And when you see TikTok, don't think they just did it like that. They didn't.
No?
They worked on that for 4 hours before they took it.
Oh, so it's not. You can rehearse before you do it?
And you slow it down.
Oh.
And you do it in slow motion. And then when you post it, it's tempo.
Oh my gosh.
Right.
Oh my God. I think I need some kind of degree in order to like do this. Cause I am technically Amish. So like, you have to be careful.
Yeah, I'm technically Amish. That's great. That's great. Yeah. I'm not very technical. I was a kid that put the penny in the light socket to see what would happen. That was not me.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right. So I mean, I don't think that we can have this conversation without like jumping to like what you have been going through the past 3 years. And I don't want to live there with you because first of all, that's not what our podcast is about. It's also not how I define you. I don't even know you, but I don't define you by that.
Right.
But it definitely is where you're at. And you must just a person who has been in motion her whole life.
Yeah.
That just guts, it guts me,
Abby.
Others
would say I can sit on my ass and teach anybody. I can. So the sitting thing and somewhere in the midst of the emergency surgery after that, I guess I woke up and said to someone, I wasn't crazy about that walking thing anyway. when they said,
oh my God,
walk again, I thought they meant like Runyon Canyon, like, you know, jumping up the white buildings in Greece. That's what I meant. I didn't mean from the bed to the bathroom. Yeah. I didn't know that. And just for a moment to touch on it, people don't realize when you're paraplegic and when you're in the situation I'm in, that it's a bowel program There's something called digital stimulation.
Yes.
That I did not know what was because I never had kids or anything. So I didn't know what all this stuff was. To stand up naked and have people dress you. I mean, it's, I'm not crazy modest. I don't think dancers are because we're used to quick change in the you know, the hallway behind the stage. Just change me. So we're not like that. I'm not like
actors
that.
Actors too. Yeah, no, right, of course. Right.
But when it's the thighs and the tummy and oh God, and I worked so hard to lose that 127 pounds.
Yes, you did.
Get blown up. And then, you know, on my staycation, I lost it on my staycation with my, I read 150 books, got a great tan and lost 127 pounds. And your taxes paid for me to be there. So thank you very much. my taxes paid for me to be there. Yeah. So then afterwards, to be out 1 week and never get to live that life, I wanted to try on a wedding dress. I wanted to,
of course,
to get clothes. I wanted to sit at the bar at Craig's, you know, with all those young girls that are trying to pick up some old guy. I wanted to, that's what I wanted to do. It sounds stupid, but I just wanted to do
that. No, it doesn't. It doesn't sound stupid at all.
And then I didn't get to, and my surgery was scheduled to do the lift and the tuck and the, and like, had I lived in Pittsburgh and the show never had happened, I would never think of getting plastic surgery. Never. But when you're out here in LA and it's just, it's like, do you want to drive through McDonald's or get lipo? Like, what should we do right now?
Yes.
You
know, or both.
Right. Yeah. That's what it's like. So but they just keep cutting me open and putting stuff in and they won't take anything out. So they're like, that's really hard surgery. That's this, that's that. I had a full knee replacement and didn't feel a thing.
Amazing. Oh, amazing. Wow. But you took steps and are taking steps. And
it's happening. I walked 150. I was walking 280 feet before these last two surgeries.
Surgeries. Okay.
I had a surgery that the doctor wanted to do for an injury I've had since puberty, before puberty.
Oh my gosh.
How they know that, I don't know. But I have some of the bones in my tailbone have never fully developed. They're juvenile bones.
Okay. Okay.
And then the bones in my spine are osteoporosis, but so poor, like a 90-year-old former athlete.
Wow.
You know, then like my right arm, the bones density is fabulous because I'm using it all the time. The left arm, not so much since I hurt my shoulder. So I never spent one night in a hospital, Mindy, until I was 52 and went into that emergency surgery.
That's word. And now 3 years later,
I mean, spent a night sleeping in a chair while my mom and dad were dying. That's different. But as a patient, never, nothing ever, but outpatient on my knee twice. And that was it. Never had surgery before.
Wow. So what is, I don't want to say what's next because you're in it and you're going through it and you're obviously staying in California. That's
I don't know. I really can't afford to live here if I'm not doing a show.
Doing something, right.
And I had a nice income.
Sure.
I spent it on a dance studio so that the network would have a place to shoot their show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And pay me $1,500 an episode and my rent $29,000 a month before we turned the light on. And before I build it out, and I never bought anything out here. I never paid off my building in Pittsburgh because there's certain tax reasons that you,
you
do any work on the building and you don't own it yet. You can write all that off. But once you are paid in full and you do something to it, too bad. So it was just different reasons. And the reason I went to prison was my house in Florida that I was supposedly maybe going to walk away from. That I never walked away from, that I kept paying the mortgage and I still pay it today. Yes. So, you know, that's that. So I could build a house in Florida that's handicap accessible, that is, you know, you have an indoor pool with the wheelchair accessible thing. You have an outdoor pool. It's all right there. Right now I have my own home, my own pool, my own pool boy, my own lawn guy. And I'm not, I haven't been there in a year and a half. I was going there right before the COVID thing. And then the network, I'll refer to it as the network. They wanted me to stay for a big meeting. So I had to stay till March 11th. I go, can't we just do it? We'll come to LA and they can stay in New York and we'll do it. No, no, no. They're all flying in. It's going to be a big meeting. It's going to be fabulous, Abby. We were pitching two new shows, like a new show. And then season 9 of Dance Moms. That was what's going to happen. So we all went, my attorney, the producer, Brian Stinson, myself, we all go to the meeting. Guess what? They didn't come in. They're on a video. Because rumors of this COVID had started.
Yes, I know the date very well. Sure.
And then March 13th, we got put on lockdown and I was afraid to fly to New York City, to Florida. And then I should have gone to Florida right on the 13th, said, screw it, I'm getting on a plane and go. And I should have gone. And then I could have been there. I'd have had a house built already.
Yeah. So you may still end up going down there at some point.
I may. And it's easy for people from Pittsburgh to get to me. Not that a flight to LA is hard, but it's just with the time change.
It's different.
It's different. And they can get back and forth to me. I'm 6 minutes from the Magic Kingdom. I can see the fireworks from Disney in my backyard.
Oh, wow. So
if I live there or if I live in a couple neighborhoods over, that's my plan to retire there. My parents are buried in Miami.
Yeah.
And I used to have a place in Fort Lauderdale and, you know, I was never there. And same thing, all these assessments, new roof, new this, new that. Like, well, I don't live on the, let the people on the top floor pay for the roof. Yeah. So it was,
you can't tell me though, that the network or another one is not interested in getting you back on television. No.
Yeah.
For now, Abby, for now, you never know. Yeah. I mean, look who's talking to you.
It's too bright of a star.
I've been in this business my whole life.
Well, you know, I shouldn't say that because I have three shows. I have, just quickly, I have a show about.
Right. Tell me.
Getting out of prison and going to a halfway house. You know, when you're in a federal prison, you're in a camp.
Yes.
So it's like your mom and dad dropped you off at the wrong, bad, cheap Girl Scout camp instead of the really expensive one that has like a cleaning lady that comes into your tent and cleans it up for you. No. This was like the bad one, right?
Okay.
But I still had somebody come into my little room and clean it up. But anyway, that's what I went to, you know?
Okay.
And so all the people are accountants, attorneys, women, housewives that took the fall and the husband left the country and they got stuck. Like a lot of my best friends were computer people and accountants, lawyers, real estate lawyers that got caught up in that whole real estate stuff. And they fought the government. So they got a year and a day and they fought and got 7 years, 8 years, 10 years. It is awful. And I wish that Kim Kardashian would have a conversation with me because.
Yeah. You could show her some things.
Yes.
Yeah.
So anyway, when you come out, so you're with all these people in a camp, you're not with hardened criminals, any criminals that are in there, any murderers or rapists or whatever, they first started the penitentiary.
Okay. Right.
Then they went to the next level, then the next
and
level.
Then for good behavior, they're
here. Yeah. So they've already done 10 years. They're here. They're not going to do anything to screw up being
getting out.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So when you are discharged or you get out, you go to a halfway house.
Okay.
Now everybody leaves the prison with their friends and their family picking them up. They get their hair done in the hair salon at our prison.
Mm-hmm.
Every curling iron you could ever imagine. And somebody does their makeup, their friends all go, they give away all their stuff, their tennis shoes, their bras, they give away everything. Then they go to this like entrance area and their family brings them clothes. They're allowed in. They change their clothes to street clothes. Right. They walk out and they have like 8 hours to report to the halfway house. Not me. I got a kick in the head with a black boot, kicked in the head, woken up, had to pack my things. In 10 minutes, all of my belongings, didn't get to give them to the girls I promised to, swing it over my back like a hobo, go to this thing. They went through all my stuff and said, no, you can't take this home. No, beautiful books.
That oh, my word.
Me. Hardback, beautiful books, like coffee table.
And you went right to the halfway house.
Okay. They drive me to the, no ride, no friends, nobody picking me up. No, no, no. They put me in a car with the cage, you know,
oh my God.
They drove me all the way to Hollywood to a halfway house. And took my box out and threw it on the floor and got back in the car and left. And I'm standing there like, well, what do I do next?
Right.
Well, what you do next is you make friends with my buddy was Kill. His name was Kill. He had the teardrops, Fendi belt, Fendi shoes. Just
go
saying.
Kill. Yeah.
Go Kill. My friends, I'm like, I want my purse. I want my bag. I want my black bag. No, we're not bringing that product stuff there. No, 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 no. You can't have that. I'm like the worst dressed person here. Yes, I can. So, and then this other buddy of mine, he kept trying to get my friends to give him a ride because he had robbed 11 banks, but they only got him for 6. So the money for 5 is hidden, but he can't tell anybody else because when they get to the money, they'll kill him and they'll take the money. It's for his mother. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Abby, Abby, you've got to like write a book. I'm not kidding. No,
the book is not a lot of money. Remember the t-shirt story? Okay.
Yes. So, sorry. So, yes.
But I'm like, no one could write this in Hollywood. No. Nobody could write this. So I have a whole show that takes place in this halfway house. And it's semi-reality, but maybe shot as reality, but not really reality.
I pick up what you're putting down. That's good.
And right now we can shoot in a house with a group of people.
You bet you can.
Then I have a dance show that has a paranormal twist to it.
Okay.
It's scripted. Okay. And then I have a show.
Things are happening.
Well, I have this stuff, but no one's like writing a check out and saying, here you go. You're the executive producer. Let's do this. It seems like you have to.
It's a weird time though.
Yeah. COVID's changing.
Yeah, but you have to partner up with a production company and then go and sell it as with a successful production company. Yeah. So that's kind of what's my problem right now.
All right. Well, I'm glad we're putting it out there because stranger things have happened on Mondays with Mindy, my friend.
Mm-hmm. Well, you would be whatever you wanted to be.
Oh.
You could be an EP, you could be a writer, you could be whatever you want to be.
There's people listening out there, Abby. Yes,
I'm sure there are.
Fairy dust, fairy dust, fairy dust. Anyway, I want to let you know, I know I'm speaking from Christian too, how much we adore you.
Thank you
and how grateful we are that you made time to come and visit us here at Mondays with Mindy. May this be the beginning of a long friendship.
Well, thank you. And I don't hear the word grateful enough. So, and I am very grateful. I am so grateful that I have one of my idols has come into my room, my private room at this beautiful trellis place.
I love it.
Has talked to me. So thank you. And thank you, Christian, for being so on the ball. Yes. Don't lose him.
And no, for my life. No.
Be grateful for your job. Be grateful. Yes. I love your turquoise wall and your branches of whatever that seaweed stuff is back
dead
there.
Dead tree.
Great. Yes. Dead tree. Yeah.
Can't keep them alive.
All right. So. Thank you, Abby.
Thank you.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, Abby Lee Miller. Thank you so much.
Lunch at the beach. Okay.
Yes, definitely. Lunch at the beach.
This episode of Mondays with Mindy is brought to you by The Cocktail Party. Love, Mary.
Tired of cooking? Love fancy hors d'oeuvres, but don't have any idea how to prepare them? Look no further. The Cocktail Party, Love, Mary, is here. For 15 years, New York caterer to the stars and our pal, Mary Giuliani, has served her delicious, whimsical hors d'oeuvres to the best names in art, fashion, and entertainment. Now she's putting them all into adorable little boxes and sending them from her heart to your home. 6 dozen of her greatest hits delivered frozen, including the yummiest nibbles like mac and cheese cupcakes, pastrami on rye tarts, and her everything pig in a pie. Total game changer for anyone who loves pigs in a blanket. As Mary says, all you have to do is turn on the oven, pour yourself a drink, and enjoy more time with your guests. She'll do the rest. Go to marygiuliani.com or mondayswithmindy.com for more information and to order yours today.